Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's a Boston sports superfan.
What's up, Nick?
Yeah. All right, Tom.
She's on the beat for a new generation of sports fans.
What is the Justice League? Is that the same thing as the Avengers?
I like this lady that you have on the line. She makes a lot of sense.
It's Fitzy and Mego.
The name of this show should be Off the Rails.
Your narcissism is ruining the program.
I'm sorry. I'm a disaster.
Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Hour number two of Fitzy and Mego here on EEI is brought to you by Eagle Bank. We thank them for sponsoring the show today. You guys can join the party at any time, 617-779-7937. And the text line is available at 37937, where people are chiming in with both their takes on the Celtics as well as their Desert Island albums.
I want to be clear, though, because we were saying Rolling Stones, right? Desert Island albums. We weren't saying general Desert Island
albums. Oh, I mean Desert Island albums.
I don't know if I can even remember that anymore, because honestly, mm-hmm. I've been out of listening to full albums for such a long time where right. I do everything on Spotify and streaming crap. Mm-hmm. So I bounce around songs so much, it's more like playlists. And of course, I feel like a lot of people do that now. It makes me kind of sad because I don't know if I can think back to, like, other than rumors, Fleetwood Mac, like, oh, this is the most perfect, complete album.
Well, for example, we had a couple come in. I said my Desert Island album would be Let It Bleed, which I think is a perfect album, a complete album with multiple genres covered. That's why I love the early Stones so much. But we had a couple interesting ones. 617, Quadrophenia, a concept album by The Who. So there you go. Someone else, 978, I believe, said we had Physical Graffiti from a 508 texter. And a 978 checked in with, hold on a second, we had a,
Bitsy?
Counting Crows? Fleetwood Mac, of course, came in. No. Oh,
Counting
Def Leppard,
Crows.
Hysteria. Yeah, another one. I think I listened that tape demagnified in high school. I mean, just like nonstop. Not a single bad track. All 12, straight through.
I'm gonna get hammered for this, but also like Kanye West's first album, College Dropout.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was like his first three when he was doing the bear thing.
Yep,
like the little bear thing.
Uh huh.
All of those are great. That
was great.
Great albums. Great hip hop albums.
Yes, early Kanye, love. Building like a planet of mud huts. Kardashian running for president. Kanye the last couple of years. Hard pass.
Also, the music just got bad.
Yeah,
the music got really bad in my opinion.
Well, there you go. Bam.
Yeah, see,
Jay-Z's The Blueprint.
Oh, okay. I totally overlooked it. Definitely Jay-Z's Black Album.
That's the greatest
hip-hop album of all time. That's the most
Dylan,
perfect.
Our producer, just smiled and nodded right
I
there.
I would ask for a Black Album rejoins, but most of the songs are so filthy that I just can't.
I could probably come up with some clean
versions.
Yeah,
we're going to come in with 99 Problems.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, but
got 99 Problems, but a big ain't
hey,
one.
Hey.
Just kidding.
Hey, now.
That's a big...
Speaking of somebody who probably listened to way too much Def Leppard in high school, right now our pal Brooksy is on the line with a Tom Wilson story. We were ranting and raving. I was saying I would help the Rangers pay their fine the other day after they got fined $250,000 for mouthing off against the garbage refereeing in the NHL and not suspending him. What up, Brooksy?
Hey, we listened to Hysteria playing Tecmo football and Tecmo baseball on Nintendo for hours at a time.
Oh, eating Elio's pizza in our Gerbeau jeans. Take me back, Brooksy.
Oh, you're spot on about that. So I took my 8-year-old for her birthday 2 weeks ago to the Bruins Capitals game. And before the game, we were down by the glass waiting for someone to throw a puck up. And guess who throws up the puck? Tom Wilson.
Come on. No, don't make me like him.
So we
did. Did you throw it back, Brooksy? Did you throw it back? You say scumbag.
This is for Carlo, you piece of crap.
He was our new favorite player for about a week, but I beat it out of her. Tell her what you wish now.
Now I wish he fell.
Wait, we need to save that as a drop.
Oh, my God. Brooksy, from the top rope, and little the Brooksette. What's your daughter's name, by the way?
Bye-bye, Tom Pilsen.
Pilsen.
Bye-bye, Tom Pilsen. What's your name, sweetheart?
Emery.
Listen. Your dad is a saint and a scholar. He is a prince of Maine and king of New England, and he runs the South Shore. But on top of all of that, he's got great taste in radio, and he is doing right by you. You tell him he's doing a great job. And also make sure you give Mom lots of extra love tomorrow because it's Mother's Day, okay?
See you guys. Thank you.
All right, Brooksy, thanks for the story, pal. That was great. How about that? Tom Wilson.
Flipped a puck up. Well, yeah, listen, if you're going to be mean to a kid, that's like the ultimate career killer. So.
I know, but what is that guy's... I don't understand him.
Now I wish he fell.
I want that to be in our new intro, please.
That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing.
But
call
the thing
the
about,
day.
You know, okay, I know that there's been some discussion over violence in the NHL right now, and obviously you don't want players getting hurt in the game, but there's a reason that they keep fighting in the game, right? And they have their own kind of enforcers and everything. Like, the way that how sterilized the NBA has become because of the Malice at the Palace and some other issues that they had... The NBA could use a little bit more of that. A little bit more of, hey, I'll see you outside by the bus.
Well, do you want to see it good old-fashioned, like late 80s, early 90s, Detroit Pistons, Bad Boys, Motor City style?
Absolutely.
You want the Lambeerification of the NBA?
I kind of do, yeah. Is that bad? Is that wrong? I'd rather have that than the AAUification of the game, which is all these guys have been pals since they've been 13, and they don't want to, you know, throw an elbow at their buddy because he's going to be mad after the game. I hate that.
Text her in the 781. Hold on. Are we sure Tom Wilson wasn't throwing the puck at the 8-year-old?
Very possible. Very possible.
I get it. It's a tough game. Put on your big boy pants, Fitz. Come on, fighting's allowed, blah, blah, you know, whatever. He's an enforcer. The Bruins, you know, it's one of those like, oh, well, if the Bruins didn't like it or, you know, if the Rangers didn't like it, maybe they should have had someone out there to stop him. I get it. Tough game. Very physical game. Violent game. Fighting is still allowed. Still don't understand why or how that ever began in the first place. That's
why?
Not my
Wait,
that's
do
not
you
my
not
place.
Like it? Are you anti-NHL
I
fights?
Like a physical. It's dumb. If
I
want to
watch, hilarious.
It's hilarious to a degree, but like if I want to watch people fight, and I am going to in about a month and a half. Sidebar: congratulations, Jake Paul. You've done the impossible. You found a way to unify us all behind Floyd Mayweather, and hoping that he absolutely kicks the crap out of you. If I want to watch people fight, I'll pay to watch people fight. People that actually fight. But the idea, I still just don't get it in hockey. The idea that people like throw down. Ah, yeah, they're going bare knuckles. Look at that takedown.
So wait,
over the head and punching. Like,
do you wish that they would minimize that? That they would take the fighting out? As
either,
a lot of people do.
You either let them, you either just turn the game into full blood sport.
Well, you don't want them giving each other concussions.
I don't care. I mean, listen, but you can get concussed in a fight. You can get knocked
That's
out and fall
saying.
To the ground.
Like, I think that they try to referee the fights a bit.
It was, I mean, the other night, it was blood sport.
It was like slap shot.
Rangers and Caps, like everyone dropped and they all threw knucks. They were just chucking knucks. It
but
was
you didn't
unbelievable.
Like that?
It was hilarious.
It was great TV.
Yeah, okay, but it was like, it was kumite.
1 second in, boom.
It was like, it
Full
was literally,
line.
I thought I was watching
hysterical.
A Van Damme. Like the Jean-Claude Van Damme hockey movie. What was that, Sudden Impact? Or
you lost me.
Yeah, like that, whatever one, Dylan, what was the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, 1994? Ice hockey.
Dylan,
like,
were you born in 1994?
Come on, look it up for
I
me.
I was not.
He can
See?
Google things
okay.
faster.
Keep right. Dylan out of this.
Hey, Siri, what was the name of the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie that took place in Pittsburgh? She'll tell me.
But seriously, you don't enjoy the fighting? I mean, I think when you get into the playoffs, it's obviously minimized and it's a little bit of a different game. But the NHL fights don't bother me. The AAUification of the NBA does bother
right.
me. And it's not because I want to see guys knocking each other's blocks off or anything like that. But I want to see the passion and I want to see the drama between the teams. I want to see guys angry at each other because that's how you feel when you actually care and play the sport.
What was the name of that movie, Dylan?
Street Fighter?
No, not Street Fighter. That was he was in the. That was Raul Julia's last.
His
movie,
only other 1994 movie was Time Cop.
Oh, that's right. What Time Cop. By the way, go back and watch Time Cop. Truly, one of the great one of the unheralded sci-fi movies of the last 50 years.
Lost.
There was a movie.
No, I don't need the Jean-Claude.
Well, I'm gonna give it to you. Damn it. My name's first on the show. I get to. If I want to talk Van Damme for a minute, I'm going to. So what? There's a movie. He's like a cop or a fireman. And he ends
Bloodsport.
Up like, no, Bloodsport was the
Somebody
original
just said
movie.
That on the text line.
That was from 86. That was the one where he fought Chong Li. That was Kumite with the great Donald Gibson, the guy who played Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds it wasn't Bloodsport.
Quick aside, remember when Taylor Hall was going to be the major problem for the Bruins?
Yeah, and now he's saving the season for them?
He was going to be the problem child for the Bruins?
Mm-hmm. No, he's been unbelievable. Pickup of the year. Too bad there hasn't been another pickup. Okay, yeah. Sudden death. Thank you very much. Of course, that's what overtime is. It's not sudden impact. It was sudden death. Thank you very much. Texter in the 978. If I could put money in your virtual Twitter tip jar or buy you a beer the way we used to in the good old days,
Caller just called and said Double Team is the movie you're thinking of.
No. That's the Disney movie with the two blonde girls who play basketball.
No, that's also the one where Jean-Claude played his own twin.
What?
He did. He
sounded like similar movies.
I don't think I've ever seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
What?
No. Ha! I'm not.
Somebody
really
get the program director on the phone immediately.
What is?
I will not say anything else,
Dylan,
until you.
Have you ever seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Not in recently, but I have because my dad made me.
Thank you. And I'm going to make my kids sit through every damn one of them.
You know what I wish would happen to Jean-Claude Van Damme? What I wish would happen to Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mind you, okay, I love Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I wish he fell.
Hey! Listen, Emery Brooks.
So we wouldn't have to talk about him anymore.
Oh my God, please. Van Damme is a national treasure.
I'm looking
the
up
muscles
his,
from Brussels.
I'm looking up his IMDb to see if I've actually seen any of his movies.
Bloodsport, Kickboxer, Sudden Impact, Sudden
Death.
These
don't even sound like real titles. Nowhere to Run?
Yes.
Universal Soldier.
Hard Target. So the whole rule was, in the late 80s, Steven Seagal did three-word movie titles, Hard to Kill,
Cyborg,
Out for Justice.
Death Warrant?
Oh, yeah, Death Warrant. Oh, my God, that movie's so great.
He was Johnny Cage in the original Mortal Kombat.
And how about, do you ever see Universal Soldier? Where
nope.
He fights, where he's like a synthetic
Wake
man.
Wake of Death. These are ridiculous.
Is that Wake of Death? Is that a Celtics docu-pic, or is that a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Yeah, I can safely say I've never seen one of his movies.
Oh my God,
and I don't see that changing
so
in the near future.
All right, let's grab one quick call before we trend, and then we're going to be joined momentarily by Eric Yost, the Pop Warner coach from Mac Jones, to give us some fun stories and insight. Steve, what's up, buddy?
I don't think it matters that this may not have been the sole pick the Patriots wanted at 15.
Thank you.
I think what matters is it's the quarterback position. That's the key. The chances of this guy, anybody else they would have picked, succeeding is probably, the top five guys, maybe two of them will turn out okay. The rest you'll be wailing and gnashing your teeth and waiting for the next one to happen. So I'm glad we didn't put another first-round pick into it to go up, which wasn't going to make our chances any better.
So, Steve, you're with me.
Quarterback, if you don't draft a quarterback.
Right, you're with me. You're with me in this whole idea, this narrative all week long here at the station, on all the talking head shows. If Belichick really wanted Mac Jones so badly, he would have traded up. He would have made sure no one else could have gotten him, as opposed to they like the guy, they watch the board, maybe they had some side convos with him. And the right guy in the right system at the right time came to them. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, but I also read a Nesson article that said they had a contingency if he was gone, which isn't a problem because, people want to use the Kansas City analogy and the Buffalo analogy, moving up for their guys, but that's the vast, vast minority where that works out. Most of the time, you've got a Teddy Bridgewater on your hands, all these right. other characters that you move up for. Mitch Trubisky, didn't they pay a lot to move up for him?
Then
they had to pay to get rid of him.
Yep.
Then they moved up again like maniacs. You think they would have learned their lesson.
So at least your
downside risk isn't bad. If the guy, 60% he's not the right guy, 70% he's not the right guy, but at least you only invested one draft pick in him. Now this next guy that's going to come on, God bless you for having him means absolutely nothing. I mean, I'll listen to what he says.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
What he says means absolutely. Okay, but whatever.
Hey.
It means nothing.
No. I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I believe it's going to mean everything because when he tells you some of the things that he heard, some of the things he experienced in the Wayback Machine with young Michael McCorkle, a.k.a. Mac Jones, you're going to love it. And for those of you like me and for those like Steve and others who are excited about the fact that he's coming to town and could be the next QB1 for the New England Patriots, when you hear what he was like right from Jump Street, this is going to make all the sense in the world that he landed where he did, and you are going to be psyched. 617-779-7937. Talking hockey. Talking Celtics, talking Patriots, Desert Island albums, Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
No more Jean-Claude Van Damme.
All the Van Damme movies.
The lines are filling up over Jean-Claude.
Can someone call in so we can talk about like Leonardo DiCaprio or someone?
Oh, please, no.
I don't want to talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, no.
What is this?
781 Lionheart is great.
God,
yes.
Oh. Can someone call in and ask about Matt Damon?
Never.
Or Ben Affleck,
never.
The pride of Massachusetts? I don't want to talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hey, it's time for trending. How about them apples?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Straw is on Waddle this time.
Well protected again. Jones, Waddle gets behind the defenders for another touchdown.
What a throw.
Touchdown, Alabama.
The Mac Jones right as he looks that way. Throws that way. Corner. Got it. Metchie, touchdown.
Paving the way. Jones in second and 6. Great coverage by Kentucky. He's got nowhere to go. Try to thread the needle. And he sneaks it in. Devontae Smith. A record-setting touchdown grab from 10 yards out.
Until he can start tossing tutties on his own in the burrow. Those are some of the Mac Jones highlights. The many, many, many highlights he made over the course of the 19 games, I believe. 19 or 17?
I don't know.
Yeah, somewhere around there. 17 games, I think he started. 19 games he appeared in for the Crimson Tide. Roll Pats. That's what we're saying up here, these parts. These days, Mego. And now, on the Harbor One hotline, for a little insight as to what the future QB1 of the Patriots was like way back when, we're joined by Eric Yost, Mac Jones's Pop Warner coach. Eric, it is a thrill to have you on Fitzy and Mego. How you doing? Thanks for giving us a little time today, buddy.
Oh, no problem whatsoever. You know, it's my privilege, right? I'm a huge Pats fan and, you know, a huge Fitzy fan. So when you asked, it was like a no-brainer.
Are you
so
kidding
anything
me?
Anything we can do. Oh, no, no. My son, you know, nicknamed Little Gronk, so we've got plenty of Tom Brady and Gronk jerseys sitting in the closet right now.
That's what I'm talking about. So how long ago did you get to Coach Mack, and what did you think of him? What was your first impression? Because everything we've heard around here from all the stories that have come out and the articles this week and The Athletic and on ESPN is that he has been football first and that he's been training his whole life for this. And this is just basically the manifestation of like his vision that he's just been dedicated to being a football star his whole life.
No, I would say that's exactly correct. I got to know Mac way back in kindergarten. Our kids went to school together. My ex-father-in-law was his high school coach at the Bowles school as well, Coach Rogers. And I was able to coach him from 7 years old on, you know, through his park playing days before he hit the high school. So he was at the park with us for like 7 years. And, you know, pretty competitive kid. He, you know, like you said, football first. He was one of those guys that practice, always had extra training after our practices on the weekends or you know, the off season. He's meeting his quarterback's coach, working out, and he was always dedicated to the sport. You know, I think what kind of gave me the affinity to him was he was like a park rat. You know, those things that we don't have nowadays in kids where they, you know how to play freeze tag and get away from people and play chase and hide and seek. You know, Mac was natural with all those moves. And so, you know, at an early age when he was playing quarterback for us, you'd see him step up in the pocket and make some throws that were unbelievable for a, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old.
Eric, as a, you know, when you saw him as a kid, did you ever think that he would make it to the level of being Alabama's starting quarterback and then going into the NFL as high as he did in the draft?
You know, he's always been a special kid. He's not been a prima donna. He's had good talent, great talent as far as spinning the ball, being able to throw it. To project at a young age that he would be, you know, the 15th pick of the Patriots, no. you know, starting quarterback at Alabama, once he was recruited and he committed to Alabama, I knew he had started Alabama. It was just a matter of time. So he waited his turn, you know, behind Jalen and behind Tua, and he got a chance to have a remarkable season. Who else goes 10-0 in an all SEC schedule, then beats Florida for the 11th SEC win, and then Notre Dame and Ohio State to win a national championship and go undefeated? It's been an amazing run for him.
Yeah, that Bama QB room, when you think about that, like, unbelievable. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, who he supplants halfway through that year, and then Mac Jones, who now goes 15th overall. We're talking to Eric Yost, Mac Jones' Pop Warner coach years ago down in Florida here on Fitzy and Mego. Eric, I wanted to ask you, so there some of those other stories that have come out, we discussed them last Saturday as they were matriculating their way through the social medias about, you know, Mac Jones once barked at Nick Saban in a scout game and said, you know, stop throwing touchdowns against the defense. And Mac yelled at Saban like, well, tell your defense to stop me. That he got thrown out of coaching female flag football because he was too aggressive. And that, you know, like there are these tendencies, which I love. These competitive tendencies, I believe to be a quarterback and a successful one, you need to be diligent and prepared, athletic enough, but smart, and you have to have that little extra edge. You know what I mean? Did you ever see that?
Oh, absolutely. Throughout his whole youth and you know, moving into high school, he's a very competitive kid. He played multiple sports, right? He played football, baseball, soccer, tennis, and always was a winner at everything. I think when we look back at it, the 9 years that we coached and Mac was with us for 7, we probably only lost like 6 games. So, you know, his high school career was very similar. There was only, you know, a sparse amount of games that were lost. And it was one where, you know, every game you'd lose, there was always the rematch or the, you know, revenge the next year. And so very competitive young man, you know, very passionate. I think people have kind of related some of his passion to McEnroe over the time. He hates losing. Who doesn't hate losing? If you're a winner, you love to win and you hate losing.
Eric, I'm assuming that you watched the draft like the rest of us and saw Max sitting in the room looking like he was waiting in the principal's office or something, you know, as a couple of teams passed on him and went with other quarterbacks. Once he ended up with the Patriots, he looked pretty happy to be at that spot, but I imagine that was some tense waiting for him. Do you think that's the kind of thing that he's going to carry with him, you know, knowing that the Patriots chose him and that these other teams passed over him when he was sitting there, literally sitting there like he was in the principal's office?
Yeah, I think, you know, Max, you know, has always wanted to be a Patriot. He was always a huge Tom Brady fan, and I know everybody's talked about, like, you know, the pictures of their bodies and stuff. And, you know, Mac has always, like, emulated Tom Brady and wanted to be, you know, a Patriot. And, you know, as, you know, Tom leaves and Mac has a chance to, for his year at Alabama and things start to progress the way it did, you know, I ran into his dad at the hardware store, and we talked a lot, and they were really, really wanting to go with the Patriots, right? You look at the type of coaching Mac has had throughout his, you know, career. He's got the winningest state, the winningest high school coach in the state of Florida. You've got the most predominant winning coach in college football. And then now you end up with the most storied franchise in the NFL. You know, I don't think he's going to have a chip. I think he wants to prove to everybody that doubts him, that doubted him at Alabama, that doubt him now in New England, that he can play and he'll deliver. I have no doubt about that.
Wow. Eric, my only other question for you is, will you make it up to Foxborough this season? And let me know when you get up there, because we got to watch Mac Jones under center for the Patriots together, man. I am so fired up for this. Because there's been this narrative that the Pats couldn't have loved him that much if they didn't trade up for him. And people are just sort of like trying to come up with a news cycle. When you look at him, just, you sent me a tape of like his Pop Warner highlights. Mego, you got to watch this. It's insane. This team is like precise and militaristic in their preparation. I'm like, that's a 7-year-old. He's like shaking off safeties and looking guys the other way and throwing these darts in the end zone. And he's like 8 years old. Like, my 8-year-old can't even tie his shoes. It's, well, unbelievable.
That sounds like a parenting problem.
Okay, well, maybe that's a me problem, Eric, and not a Mac problem. But you're telling me that he's always been this prepared and always wanted it. And so basically the Patriots are a dream come true for him.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There's, you know, it's that's where he wanted to be. That's where he's wanted to be for a long time. And it was just, you know, so appropriate that it happened the way it did. And, you know, for the Patriots to be able to have him fall to 15 and save a little money, you know, it's even, you know, better for everyone.
Better for everyone.
Beautiful.
Ah, it's a beautiful story. Well, I can't wait to see him throw his first meaningful pass this summer and, of course, have him throw. Oh, imagine if he actually is under center when they play the Bucs this fall, knowing the kid grew up wanting to be Tom Brady, and then he might have a chance. Might have a chance. Eric Yost, the Pop Warner coach for Mac Jones, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Thanks for a couple minutes on your Saturday, buddy. And I mean it. When you come up here and catch a game, or if we meet up on the road, you give me a shout and let's meet up for a cold one and talk some football, okay?
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it so much. Eric Yost joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. I love that's fun. It's a little backstory. We're coloring in the backdrop for Mac Jones.
I love that he ran into his dad at the hardware store and they just, it's like, hey, where do you want to go? You know, like, right. That's like great.
What are you guys thinking?
Great, like, I just picture small town Florida, like walking through the hardware store. Hey, what you thinking about the draft there?
Well, we're eyeing a couple teams. We're fixing to get him up there to New England. Now, when you hear that, obviously, they spoke at the workout, and he did. And Belichick did attend the Alabama pro day.
It was one of his rare appearances.
Yeah, one of the. What did he only go to two pro days? That in Miami, right? Yeah, to look at Trask and obviously Jalen Phillips, who went to the Dolphins. Not a surprise. Similar defense, Brian Flores. But that they had multiple Zoom sessions, and they grilled this kid. To hear that he's smart as a whip, always been like that, always been hyper competitive, always well prepared. It shouldn't surprise you. When a Jim Nagy says, like, yeah, we went to turn off the lights at the library and they were still on at midnight and we had to kick someone out and it was Mac Jones studying for the Senior Bowl. Like, these are the little things that make for a winner.
I want to spin it on its head for a minute because we've talked so much about the draft and stacking Mac against the other possible quarterbacks they could have gone with. What I'm more excited about is where the Patriots are sitting with their future with the quarterback, and maybe even later this season when he comes in. When you look at what's going on with, say, the Aaron Rodgers situation over in Green Bay, where Aaron Rodgers is seemingly trying to do everything he can to shoot his way out of town because it seems like he wants to be in a bigger market with his actress, soon-to-be wife, Shailene Woodley. And having a guy like Mac, who seems very moldable and very much wanting to be a leader in the Patriots locker room and be the third iteration of the dynasty, that's a pretty good place for Belichick's Patriots to be sitting in comparison to somebody who has their own plan, their own ego, and wants to control the franchise. Belichick wants to control this franchise.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more. And to have a young prospect who wants to put in the work. We've heard it previously when we spoke to Mac's throwing coach, Denny Hamilton, a week and a half ago in OMF. Now you're hearing it from his Pop Warner coach. Like, he played for the winningest high school football coach in Florida, who supposedly is grumpier than Saban multiplied by Belichick. Then, of course, he plays for Saban. Then he plays, now is about to play. He wants to be coached hard. I just don't understand. Like, what if... And listen, I have flipped the dial. I have listened to podcasts, all the sports stations in this town. Yes, every now and again, people that work at one might listen to another one. Just, you know, see what the competition's saying. What's going on? What's the mood around town? What's the vibe? And it's nonsense. It is complete nonsense. Oh, they didn't love him. Oh, this was organizational. This was just to please the Pats fans. Well, okay, if this flames out and Mac Jones just can't cut it, he can't throw a touchdown or a 30-yard pass through a whipping Foxborough rainstorm, okay, maybe I'll be wrong and I'll have proverbial egg in my face. But if you get a chance to have someone step under center with all of that pressure in this high-pressure, high-leverage media market on that team, why wouldn't you take that? Why isn't he the perfect fit?
What I don't understand the complaints here are, it's fine if you don't like Mac Jones. If you don't like him as a quarterback and he wasn't the one that you wanted in the draft, that's totally your opinion. You're entitled to that.
Right.
Even as a media member, you're entitled to say, this isn't the guy that I wanted to see play in Foxborough or that I wanted to cover. Fine. But the people who say this wasn't a plan, I don't get that, because you've been complaining for so long about how the Patriots haven't had a plan at quarterback and how they had to go back to Cam and how frustrating that was. In, you know, in talking to people around the team before the draft, they seemed to have a concentrated plan for quarterback. Now, I'm not sure that they completely executed the plan that they wanted to in terms of having the bridge quarterback that they wanted to have in New England. I'm not sure that they definitely wanted that to be Cam Newton rather than somebody else. But it seems like they got the kind of quarterback situation that they wanted with getting Mac Jones and getting the rookie that they believe can at least be a steady, good, talented quarterback for several seasons here. And bonus on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, his contract's going to average, what, $3.5 million? It's like $17 million for his rookie deal. So you're going to get someone who you hope can be Garoppolo-esque for $3.5 million, as opposed to having to give up assets on draft night, which ultimately didn't happen because of the Trey Lance pick, and have to pay him somewhere between $15 and $20 million, were you to have successfully renegotiated his deal. I think it's a win-win-win, but what do I know? You're just a honk, Fitz. You just love working for the Patriots. Of course everything's going to work out for them. Let's take a quick call from, all right, first person named after my dad. Oh, look, it's George on line one. George, welcome to the show. What's up, guy?
Well, first off, I wasn't going to say this, but Megan's going to cut her teeth on this question. I just want to tell you about this whole Cam thing real quick. Everyone bothered him because he sucked when he was there, and then the media said, oh, well, he was good for three games and the whole thing. If he does good this year, they're going to reverse again and go, oh, I told you he'd do good this year, no COVID, blah, blah, blah. They go back and forth all the time. But what I called for was Jean-Claude.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. To go from Cam to Jean-Claude is my perfect Saturday phone call, George. Please continue.
But hold on. You're going to hit the button. I need Megan to do this. Look up when Jean-Claude got knocked out by Chuck Zito by one punch in Hollywood. Chuck Zito, who I knew, and he was a Hell's Angel. He was in the movie, the TV show Oz. Jean-Claude mouthed off or something. And the Hells Angels have a rule. If you don't knock someone out in the first punch, you get fined through them. And he literally knocked out Jean-Claude in one punch.
You know where it was, George?
This was at the Scores it was at Club.
It was outside of Scores, the premier gentleman's club for years in New York. I was living in the city at the time, George, and it was the front, like outside of the New York Times. It was like the New York Post, Daily News. It all was like Zito knocks out. Like, it was like double impact. Like, they use Van Damme titles. It was like on the front page of all the tabloids the next day.
Okay, and there's your. I like Jean-Claude. The only movie I really loved was Time Cop, but I got to tell you, once Chuck knocked him out, that was like, that was the funniest thing ever.
I know.
One shot, and he was out like a light. So I thought Mago might get a kick out of that.
Absolutely. George, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it very much. See, look at that. But you can, in 1 minute, you can be talking about your potential quarterback of the future, what he was like in his childhood, and how he has willed his way from Pop Warner to the Patriots. The next, we're talking about an actor who gets knocked out in front of a strip club. Dylan, what a time to be alive. 617-779-7937. More Patriots thoughts, your calls, all that jazz coming up on Fitzy and Mego. Don't go anywhere.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fitzy and Mego. More of it now on WEEI.
No changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, it's life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a need, bro. Pull a trigger, killing, he's a heat, bro.
How often do you get to hear a little Tupac? Little Tupac Shaker there on WEEI. Is that on someone's Desert Island album?
No. No, yeah? I just thought, you know,
a little random
talking about the changes in the Patriots. We're in the Patriots locker room, come back with the little changes with Mac Jones being the future. You know.
As opposed to probably what a lot of people here would have assumed if you were going to go with a song called Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah, I won't do it for you, but you know, we didn't go the obvious classic rock David Bowie, bro.
Well, I like to do, I like a little bit of everything. You know,
you do.
I love Tupac. I love, like I've said, I've loved Neil Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Neil Young, and everything. I get around, you know, with my music.
Yeah, see, I don't think, there's no iPod, obviously. I do the same thing you do, but like, were there a streaming report from my Apple Music? I do that over Spotify, but I'm sure, like, just like someone's browser history, or like if you check your YouTube history, like,
I don't
it's all
know
over
about
the place.
Your browser history.
Oh,
that's
come
creepy.
On. What are you worried about? There's nothing that anyone else that is listening right now hasn't watched on there. Don't worry about it. Besides, any guy will tell you, always hit clear history before you go to bed.
Ugh,
you never leave a full... What?
God.
Always. Ugh. The last thing you want to do, the last thing you want to have happen is have one of your kids end up checking your history. Or let's say, God forbid, you pass, you expire, and they just do, like, they're like, oh, man, I can't believe this.
Yours is just Tom versus Time every episode. Episode of Tom versus Time.
Yeah, I bet you it's probably something from a Star Wars movie. Like, what was he watching when... Oh, God. Dear Lord. He was watching what? And they were doing this to who? When? Oh.
Fitzy canceled.
Oh,
God.
Well, death is the ultimate cancellation, Dylan. I don't know if you know that. But
here the Patriots are sitting with having Mac Jones compared to the quarterback situations. Because we've been talking a lot about, you know, in other parts of the league. Because we've been talking a lot about Mac Jones versus his class of quarterbacks in the draft.
Yeah, like who do you think is most primed right from Jump Street? The five that were taken in the first 15, who do you think is most primed for success of the five right away?
I'm most curious to see Justin Fields just because it's possible. I think what a lot of people are most nervous of who are invested in the quarterback situation in New England is that Justin Fields will be the one who got away because you hypothetically could have traded up to go get Fields because he was so close to your pick. Mm-hmm. Instead, you sat pat for Mac Jones. So I'm most invested in obviously seeing if Mac Jones gets to play this season and how he does, but I'm really curious to see how Justin Fields steps in.
Permission to speak freely, Captain. Earlier, or permission to speak promotionally, Captain. Earlier this week, I whipped up a little piece on WEEI.com about five players I believe Patriots fans will sort of want to keep an eye on, not just for fantasy purposes, but they'll want to watch their development, progress, and or success over the next couple of years, because I think they were players that the Patriots had interest in or would have been good picks throughout the draft. Not criticizing the Patriots draft, not being one of those guys, Belichick draft. No, they had a great draft by all accounts. Top five draft, A pluses across the board from so many draft nicks. But, for example, Justin Fields is one of them. Because if he does go off, if he has an incredible career, he may be the one that got away. This could be the latest example of, like, I can't believe they went with Mac Jones, even though I think he's going to be great. Because look at the way Fields has gone off. And the ceiling for his success in Chicago is set so low because they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. That's where quarterbacks go to die. Justin Fields to Allen Robinson could be a thing next year. Like they could be something. So that's one of the five players I put together in that piece.
That's where I feel like the Mac Jones criticisms or the backlash against Mac isn't exactly personal to Mac. It's mm-hmm. about why didn't you go up and get Fields? That's what I read it as. I'm not sure it's so much that people think Mac Jones is a really bad fit in New England. How could you think that? He's a prototypical quarterback compared to what they had the last two decades. But the fear that I hear or the frustration mm-hmm. is you could have had Fields and maybe he's been so heavily compared to Patrick Mahomes. And so, you know, that's where I'm curious to see how that plays out. I don't necessarily agree with that. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more skeptical about how Fields is going to be, but I'm definitely curious to see it. And I think that's where the Mac backlash really comes from. The Mac-lash.
Solid. The Mac. Yeah. Wait, did you just make a good take and drop a portmanteau and all of it too?
I'm a professional these days.
Somebody put a tip in her virtual jar. Look at that.
Please don't. That sounded
awful. Did that sound gross?
That sounded disgusting.
Yeah, it almost
You're
did.
Bad this segment.
I'm not supposed... All right, clear the browser history on that one, Dylan, okay? Smart as a whip, great organizational fit, makes sense there, always wanted to go there. Yes, he's not as big. Yes, he may not be as strong. Super accurate, highly successful. Justin Fields threw to plenty of people that were drafted, are going to get drafted. It's not like he was throwing to the 2006 Patriots or the 2013 Patriots. Justin Fields had lots and lots of talent around him. Yes, obviously, Mac Jones was throwing to one of the greater offensive sets in history. Waddle goes 6, Smith goes 12, Najee Harris goes 24, he goes 15. Yeah.
That whole line, too.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Landon Dickerson and Alex Leatherwood also go in the first round. 6 Alabama players go in the first round. So, yes, could be a product of that system and the talent around him. Absolutely. But winner at every level, every coach will vouch for him. I'll take a chance. I'll take a flyer. Bill Belichick, let me just ask you this one question. If Bill Belichick, right, just like sitting there, right, and it's, okay, Bill, doesn't matter what the cost is, you can have either Fields or Mac Jones, either one. They both cost the same. Just for fun, let's play radio with that for a second. Who would he take?
I think he'd take Fields.
You do?
Yeah, I think a big calculation was, you know, in these first-round quarterbacks, it's always a major gamble. And if you can take the gamble without really putting chips on the table mm-hmm. because one of the guys comes to you at 15, like, I think they like Mac. I really do. And I think that he was a top prospect for them. That's not coming from an informed place. That's just me, you know, that's how I see it. But I do think that if the roles were reversed and Fields dropped to 15, they would have taken him, too. I just don't think they were going to go up to get a quarterback. And so Mac is the one who was there for them. And I do think he fits well. Now, if they were both sitting there, the upside, the what you could get back with Fields is just higher, it appears.
Mm-hmm. Higher ceiling Fields, higher floor, Mac Jones.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that they would have taken Fields.
Yeah, I agree with you. We are up against it. Let's pay some bills, get into the third and final hour. We'll talk some more Patriots. Paul, Wayne, Ed, Bill, I see you there. We're going to get to your calls as soon as we get to the other side. Then, of course, we'll have an extended crossover with Brad Foe and Steve Peralt. We'll talk some Red Sox. Maybe we'll even mention Aaron Rodgers a bit more, Tom Brady. In the final hour of Fitzy and Mego here before the live BP show on WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.